Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In this session, we shall study the norms of gender interaction which have been prescribed by the Quran. Primarily, these norms have been given in order to safeguard the institution of the family and also to sanctify the interpersonal relationships which exist between people. The Quran, while outlining these norms, says that when people visit one another, it is not appropriate that they suddenly barge into the houses of others. They should first seek permission before entering a house, and the proper way of seeking this permission is to pay salutations, that is saying assalamu alaikum, to the residents of the house. And if they hear a response to this in the form of alaikum assalam, or a response to the salutation they had paid, only then they should enter the house. And if there is no one present in the house, or there is someone present, and on his behalf some other person says that he's not in a position to meet the visitor, then the visitor should withdraw from the house and go away without any feeling of ill will. The Quran says that the primary purpose of this restriction is not to curtail any social interaction between people, but to purify the lives of people. In this regard, the second thing which the Quran says is that if the visited place is a non-residential place, for example, it's a shop or an office or a hotel, in such places, seeking formal permission is not required. However, in residential places, this permission is required at all times, and in this, the Quran has given certain exceptions, and it says that immature children and slaves, for them, the permission is not to be, it's not required at all times. In three specific time periods, they must seek permission. And the first of these is before the Fajr prayer, the second is during the afternoon nap, and the third is after the Isha prayer, when people have gone to bed. In these three times, it is essential that slaves and children who frequent the house, immature children, they must seek permission. However, once the children grow up, they must also seek permission at all times. This exception will not hold for them when they grow up. In this regard, the third thing which the Quran says is that whether the place which is visited is a residential place or a non-residential place, in both cases, if men and women both are present, then both men and women must restrain their gazes. They must not feast their gaze at the physical attributes of the opposite gender. Their gaze must be modest. They should look towards one another as if a person would look towards his sister or his mother. Therefore, it is essential that people must guard their gazes and they must have modesty in their gaze. The third thing, the fourth thing which the Quran says in this regard is that it is also essential that men and women who are present on such occasions of intermingling, they must properly wear a decent dress. And this dress should not only properly cover their bodies, it should also cover their sexual organs in a very decent way. And in no case should these organs become prominent for the opposite gender, and they must be properly covered. In this regard, the fifth thing which the Quran says is that women must hide their embellishments and they must not display them except through a very close circle of people and their immediate acquaintances. And these embellishments actually must not be revealed before other people. And by the word embellishment, the word actually used in the Quran is zina, and which covers makeup and, of course, jewelry. And the Quran says that except for embellishments which are worn on limbs, which are generally uncovered, all other embellishments must be hidden. And these general limbs are the face, the hand, and the feet. And the Quran also says that embellishments which are worn on other limbs must be hidden at all costs, so much so that women must not strike their feet when they walk along, so that they must not draw attention of any hidden ornaments that they may be wearing. The sixth directive which the Quran gives in this regard is that since the chest of a lady is very attractive to the opposite gender, and plus she might also be wearing jewelry in her neck, therefore it is essential that they should cover their chests and they should also cover their neckline so that this does not become apparent. And in this regard, women who have passed their marriageable age, they are given exemption, and they are told that they can dispense with this cloth which covers their chest and their neckline. Of course, the pretext should be that they do not want to display themselves. However, the Quran says even for them, it is better that if they cover their chests. These then are the norms of gender interaction which the Quran has outlined, and it expects its followers to obey them. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.